It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
And away we go. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody out there in the listening audience. You are tuned in live to the WGH Talk Radio 12th Annual Christmas Special, and we are going to have fun tonight. This special is brought to you this year by Donato's Pizza, and we want to thank Nate over at Donato's here in Marion for providing the food for tonight's big buffet, and we have got a room full here tonight and more to come as the night goes along over the next two solid hours. Now, for those of you who've listened to these specials in the past, the first hour we have the reading of Twas the Night Before Christmas. We share some Christmas memories. We have the reading of Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, and then we take a break at 8 o'clock and we come back at 8:15 and we do our Christmas caroling, which is the favorite part, beloved by Glenn Coble especially, beloved by the whole... Glenn, don't Ebenezer Scrooge on me already. Now, Glenn, I should mention who's with us here in the studio since people can't see. Terry Tackett is with us. Glenn Coble is with us. Ed Pickett, Linda Sims, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, Sean Kraft is here, and the big man himself who is busy this time of year, but he's here for our two-hour program tonight. Santa Claus is sitting right in the studio, and we will have pictures of this as the night goes along. Ebenezer Coble, pick up the microphone there and tell us why you're unhappy this Christmas. Let's start off on that note.
I'm not unhappy this
Christmas. Well, you came in kind of angry, Glenn.
Well, I knew you were going to ask us to sing.
You've been to these before.
I know. That's why I was angry.
But you do such a wonderful job because you were part of a quartet.
Trio.
Oh, Matt's here. Matt Morgan has arrived.
I'm part of a trio.
You're part of a trio. I'm sorry. We have your record somewhere.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, we do. Now put the. I know it's been a while, Glenn, but put the mic up to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. No, but Matt, you've arrived. Are you excited? He was coming back from Columbus. He's been doing shopping for our gifts for Christmas, I hear.
Oh, yes. I have been gift shopping. I didn't do much gift shopping. I ended up buying stuff for my family's gift exchange, and then after that, we went to Barnes & Noble, and I ended up spending a lot of money on books.
No, you're a little bitter this year as well. I mean, we've had that conversation on the air. You're with Glenn, a little angry at Christmas this year.
Tell him you're not angry. I'm not angry.
I mean, I don't necessarily know that I'm angry per se, but, like, I mean, I'm not even a religious person, but I mean, I just think it's gotten so far away from the point of Christmas that I don't know, that it's really that it's really all that don't know. It just seems like it's lost its importance to some extent.
Now, tell us, Matt, who's 22 years old, what was Christmas like when you were young? Was it wonderful?
Basically the same thing it is now.
Well, then what do you mean? Christmas isn't what it used to be, the meaning.
Well,
he's a crybaby.
That's what it sounds like.
Same meaning as long as I've been alive. Just, as long as Christmas has been around, the meaning has certainly evolved over the the course of its history.
Well, we hope you're having... Terry, are you having the Christmas spirit? Get the microphone, Terry, here. Are you in the Christmas spirit?
Such a thing anymore as the Christmas spirit?
It can be a little gloomy from time to time.
But I guess I'm as much of a Christmas spirit as you can be, I guess.
But we're going to be reveling tonight. We're going to have it here. We're reveling and waffling. We still have some other guests to come, is my understanding, so there's going to be some more fun here tonight.
Stay tuned.
We've got the pizza flowing, and we're all having a good time. Linda Sims is here. Linda, let's get the microphone over to Linda. Glenn is, I don't know what Glenn's doing.
He's doing some housekeeping over here.
Glenn, wait till we start the broadcast to start moving the furniture. Gee whiz. We're live,
hello.
Glenn. Oh, no. Glenn's lost his phone. He won't be able to call anybody. Holy moly. Linda.
Hi.
You've been here all 12 Christmases with us.
Amen.
There we are.
Right.
What are some of your memories of Christmas party past? 12 years.
Oh, let me think. 12 years is a lot of territory to cover. Always the music, the fun, the donations, the pizza, the sponsors, my family, the radio family. It's just been real. It's been live, and it's still lasting and continuing. I put it like that, still continuing.
And that's really what we are, and that's why we do it this way, is we are a family, and we think of everybody here as family, and that's why we do get together.
Right.
And we should mention right off the top of the bat, so I don't forget it, people who were a big part of this Christmas special, the late Paul, well, Paul Savage is late, Glenna, his wife is still around, but the late Paul and Glenna Savage, who used to play piano at our Christmas parties for so many years. The late Marge Hazlett, who came for so many years and was wonderful at Christmas. The late Martha Dowse, who's no longer with us. Charlie Evers did "Twas the Night Before Christmas" for the first six Christmas parties. And
six parties.
Glenn, I'm trying to have a sentimental moment here. Don't do that.
Everybody else is dying.
No, listen, all those people are gone, Glenn. I can't help it. I wish they were still with us, but they're gone. I'm sorry. They've left us. Is there anybody I forgot? Linda, did I forget anybody?
I don't think so.
But those were
Charlie.
I missed Charlie.
Right.
The Leshesky family, who's still alive, Glenn, but they're not.
True.
They've grown up now.
Yeah.
And they're
no longer
here with us.
Yeah.
Remember when Mr. Jingling used to come in from Cleveland, our Santa's favorite elf, and do his jingling song and have his keys and batch those all around?
Wow.
A lot of Christmases.
Yeah.
And your husband, Ed, has joined us the last few Christmases.
Yes, he has.
And it's good to have Ed here. Ed, you've joined this dysfunctional family that we have here at the radio station. How's that feel?
Well, it's a different kind of family, that's for sure. But I do look forward every year to the singing. It's one of my rare opportunities to sing.
There we go.
So, yeah, it's kind of fun.
And Ed is a past fruitcake toss champion and also president of the Y Men, who brought the Christmas tree and donated it to the homeless shelter last week.
It's always a lot of fun to like throw that fruitcake. And I got some guys that are very, very good at throwing it now.
Brian Murphy.
Brian Murphy's unreal.
78 feet.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk that?
That may not get broken for a while. But, and the Y Men, we had a pretty good year. We sold most of our trees, and it was very, very good.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. Mary Ellen Withrow, of course, has been with us, I think, only a few times. She hasn't been able to make the Christmas party. 40th Treasurer of the United States. Mary Ellen, so good to see you here in the holiday season.
Well, it's good to be here.
We've had a busy week. Matt and I and Christian were over at your house Tuesday night for a beautiful dinner party, Christmas dinner party. You came in last night with Larry Barnett, former Major League umpire, and we did a great taping that'll be available for people tomorrow, Christmas taping. It's been a wonderful holiday week.
Yes. Yes, it has. Three nights together.
Three nights together.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sick of, you're not sick of me yet, are you, Mary Ellen?
Oh, no.
No. Mary Ellen,
Vote on that.
Oh, Glenn, well, you know, Listen, I'm going to have to get to Glenn later on. We'll tell the stories. But Mary Ellen, we've had some wonderful Christmases together.
Yes.
One that I remember, and this just tells you how I do think of these Christmas parties as family, is Mary Ellen one year, I think you broke your leg?
Yeah, I did.
Broke her leg, and I said, Mary Ellen, we really would like you at the Christmas party, and you came, when you had not been healed all that much, and you came that year.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. You did.
I probably wanted to get out real bad.
I wanted to get out of the house. But that was wonderful, and one of the great, wonderful memories that I have.
Yeah.
And you read one year, Yes, Virginia, There's a Santa Claus.
I did.
So we've done all those wonderful things here. Who's sitting next to you, Mary Ellen?
Well, it's a very important person right now. Santa Claus. Yes.
Santa Claus, we are so glad to have you here for the big two-hour broadcast. We know it's a busy time of year for you. How are things going?
Things are going according to schedule. We're very busy, like you said, this time of year. And I'm taking a little break. Come down to see all the fine folk down here in Marion.
Now, do you like Donato's Pizza?
I love Donato's Pizza.
They're our supporter tonight. We thank them, Nate over at Donato's here in Marion. How are Rudolph and the other reindeer?
All the reindeer are fine. They do not get pizza. They're a little grumpy about that, but yeah. They get their normal feed, but no pizza.
How's Mrs. Claus?
Mrs. Claus is ready for me to go on a diet.
Yeah. Oh, well, now what? This is a big thing every year because kids will get their... What are you doing, Glenn? We're going to have to take him out, Sean. You might have to take Glenn out.
That reminded me of my wife.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I don't know what that means, but okay. Santa, cookies. Kids will leave the cookies and milk for you coming up next Wednesday night. What's your favorite type of cookie for any kids that might be listening?
Well, my favorite are chocolate chip, but there are not very many I don't like, so... leave whatever you like, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
You'll eat it. What is popular this year, Santa Claus? I hear that. What did I hear that was popular this year, Matt? What's popular this year? Well, your books, right? Loaded yourself up with books.
Yeah, I loaded myself up. I got books for Christmas, and I bought myself a whole bunch of books.
Oh, bought for yourself? Well, that's nice. That's the season to give. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Somebody told me recently what was popular this year. Of course, electronics. Or I can imagine Santa.
Always electronics.
Yeah, yeah. And with Squishmallows. That's what it was. These pillows, which I guess are like stuffed in. Stupid. Glenn said. Yeah, stupid looking. There. That's from Glenn, not me, Santa. Is Glenn on the naughty list, Santa? I don't want to ask a pertinent question like that, but he might be.
Well, that's kind of fluid at this time of year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's going one way. We are going to have Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. Glenn, I think I'll have you read that this year. If you want to prepare, I'll give you the, in a few minutes.
Okay.
But there you go.
I don't read well, but okay.
And Linda has, I believe, done Twas the Night Before Christmas the last few years, so we'll give her that, let her prepare. As we continue on. But Sean, we want to get you here on the show. How's your Christmas holiday season going here tonight? As we, you've been here all 12 of these.
Yep, going good. Busy but good.
Busy but good. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Now, I believe one of our guests is at the front door. All right. So I believe somebody else is arriving here. It's like the red carpet, Matt. It's just the red carpet of Christmas here tonight. That's what I like to call it.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the Christmas party is just about every year. Couldn't ask for a much better guest list.
No, and it's always something to talk about for days and days and days and days because we have a lot of fun at this thing. And again, don't forget, the next hour we're going to break at 8 o'clock. And when we come back at 8:15, the whole group here, everybody, will be singing our Christmas carols that we do every year. And it's a wonderful, wonderful moment of great happiness and joy. And I know the people at home just can't wait. Now, I think our guest will be coming down the hallway here, so I don't want to get into too much of a story, but we certainly want to thank everybody who's out there listening, and if you're enjoying, get yourself some milk and some cookies or some hot chocolate or whatever this time of year you might be indulging in. Eggnog is certainly
fruitcake.
Oh, by the way, I should mention, I hear that the fruitcake toss, the results are going to be in the Marion Star tomorrow. I'll tell you, that's an uptown event. That's become just the event of events.
It's gotten bigger each year, so, I mean, that's what you want.
It has. It has. I don't know what the article's going to... It's an AI thing again, I think. So, there we go. Mary Ellen, more AI.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
It's the whole thing. Yeah. But, Glenn, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Now, before we read it... tell us, do you know the story behind this?
I do not.
Really? You don't?
As a matter of fact, the only time I've ever heard it is on here.
Yes, this is the most printed letter in the history of newspapers. Frank Church, I believe, was the newspaper man. Frank Church, I believe. And a little girl, Virginia O'Hanlon. I'm surprised I can remember that. Little Virginia O'Hanlon sent a letter to the newspaper in Chicago. Hey, you're a Chicagoan, so
yeah,
there you go.
Good.
What was the?
Good. It was either the Sun-Times or the Tribune.
I think it was the Sun-Times.
Okay.
Sent a letter to the Sun-Times, little Virginia O'Hanlon, saying, "Is Santa Claus real?" And Frank Church, this great newspaper man, writes this letter. And every Christmas, this is printed in newspapers all across the country. And when newspapers were at their height, this got printed a lot. So I think we have little Virginia's letter, and we also have the great Frank Church's response. Do we not, Glenn?
Well, it looks like it's a letter from Virginia, but I don't see a response from him.
The letter to Virginia is very short. So
okay.
where it says...
Oh, okay. That's
yeah,
the letter.
That's
very short.
Well, what's the date? The date was what I wanted to get on this.
Okay, let's see if I can find that for you. It might be on the back here.
It's not at the top there on the front?
I didn't see it.
Is there a year?
No. No. It says she's 8 years old.
So Virginia was 8 years old.
It was reprinted in 1897.
September. I think 1897 is the year that it was written. So this is what now? Boy, oh boy, 100 and 28. Yeah. 128 years.
Maybe.
Well, let's do, because this really, if because you know, every year you get some wiseacre kid who goes around, oh, is Santa Claus real, blah, 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 and that's what was happening in 1897 with little Virginia O'Hanlon. So, Glenn, the most famous, the most printed letter in the history of newspapers, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, as read by Glenn Coble.
I also want to tell Matt that they've been saying the same thing about Santa Claus since my father, he told me, same stories you're all hearing right now, you know, whether he's real,
yes,
or all that stuff.
Yeah. So this is what it all comes down to.
Yeah. Dear editor, I'm an 8 year old. Some of my little friends say that there is no Santa, Papa. But Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? And that's from Virginia O'Hanlon. I think you said told that. And it's 115 West 95th Street. I know where that is, by the way. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see, unless they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible in their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they are men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, as compared to the boundaries worldwide about him, as measured by the intelligence of capable of grasping the whole truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they're abound and give to your life the highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would the world be if there was no Santa Claus? It would be a dreary world indeed, as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then. No poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The external light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believed in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if you did not even see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing in the lawn? Or, of course, not. But no, there is no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders they have unseen or unseeable in this world. You tear apart the baby rattle and see what makes the noise inside. But there is a veil covering the unseen world, which is not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived could tear apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view the picture, the natural beauty and the glory beyond. Is it real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus, thank God, he lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of the children.
Frank Church, that answers the question of, is there a Santa Claus? Mary Ellen, you read that 1 year. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful story? Yeah, it really is.
Yes, it's very, very nice to hear it again.
You know, and it really does put into context the sentiment of Santa Claus.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's such an important thing, I think, during the holiday season for people to have a belief.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, we all have to believe in things, different things. And, you know, it's interesting what people do believe in.
Can you imagine that was is the most printed letter in the history of newspapers?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I read this somewhere. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think it is. Frank Church was, you know, alive in the 1800s, and he was a newspaper man, and he was known for writing hard-hitting editorials, and he kind of got a little dismayed in his career because he felt that no matter how big the story or how great the story, you know, it was going to be thrown away because the next day's newspaper would come out and there would be a thing, and that nothing really lasts forever in the newspaper business. And then here he writes something that to this day people are reading, plays have been done about, movies have been done. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes,
wonderful
it
thing.
Is. Right.
Well, I think we're going to go to Linda Sims now with our other big tradition. We hear this a lot this time of year. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. I think it is a Christmas poem, I think they call it.
Yes, it is a Christmas poem. And you can also sing this.
You can sing it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to sing it if we have time later on.
About that, right?
I didn't know you could sing that, Glenn. Did you know? I had no idea there was a singing version. No, I heard, Glenn. I heard that somewhere that you could sing it.
Yeah, we sang it when I was in the Army Field
Band. Really? Yeah, so you know how to do it?
No, I don't.
Well,
you can't remember. Oh, you can't remember
can't
now.
Remember.
Okay.
Oh, I had no idea. Well,
yeah,
okay.
You can sing it.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe next hour we'll give it a try if we have time. Here we go.
'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there rose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Excuse me. Get some water.
Excuse me.
Well, I thought she was going to start singing it. I didn't know what was going on. Glenn, you sang this in the...
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Or the choir did.
The choir. But you did. You were part of the choir, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we sang it. It's kind of a... It's not a what you would call a hymn or anything. It's kind of a happy song.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all, as dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, when they meet with the obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers, they flew with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose, like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow.
I didn't know this was so funny. I didn't know this was a comedy song. Oh, Bo, Linda.
It's what I'm going through to read it. Yeah. Like
Linda's choking to death here during the broadcast. We didn't realize. We should have had refreshments. Terry, we should have had refreshments on hand.
And the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth. And the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. I can't even finish.
Glenn, jump in and finish this thing.
I don't know where we are.
Go ahead, baby. Here we go.
A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
You know, in all the years, that was good, Glenn. That was nice. Very, very, very nice. And good, Linda, good as well.
I knew my speech and drama would pay off someday.
Well, you knew in all the years we've done that, I don't think we've ever had a tandem do it. I don't think we've ever had it as a duet. We thought it might be a song, and it turned into a duet this year.
We had a page drama.
It was a trio. We had a whole thing going on. Terry, it's a wonderful thing to hear that every year, is it not? We'll get the microphone over to Terry here. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's one of the great traditions I like here that we do that every year.
And did you hear, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus?
Yep.
What does that make you think of every year?
Well, obviously, for me, it brings back when I was younger, you know, that you're anticipating the arrival of Santa Claus, and, you know, and you hope that he brings what you ask for and things like that.
Well, what are your favorite? You've been here for, I think, all 12 Christmas parties as well.
Pretty close.
What's your favorite Christmas memories?
I think I'd probably have to just say what everybody else, just the camaraderie and just all the, you know, everybody just being together and just usually a lot of food and just all the singing and laughter and all that kind of stuff.
Mr. Do you remember Mr. Jingling used to come?
Mr. Jingling, yeah.
Mr. Jingling was an interesting fellow. He came from Cleveland. He was Santa's favorite elf. He had his own little song. Do you remember Mr. Jingling,
no.
Glenn? No. And he was interesting because when he would look at you, he was looking at you at the same time and he was also looking to the left. You remember that, Terry?
Yeah.
Am I lying about Mr. Jingling?
Because I didn't know which way.
No, you weren't exactly sure.
Yeah.
To get Mr. Jingling's eye pattern, you weren't exactly sure where you needed to be.
The jingling of the keys along with that.
Oh, yes. That's what we were doing the radio broadcast that night, as we are tonight, and I think the sound is pretty good tonight. But he brought these enormous, because he was the keeper of the keys. Yeah. And he had this big
store.
Yeah, Hallie's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
and he had this big keychain, big metal keychain with all these big metal keys on them, and he would drag them across the desk, and it sounded like somebody was dragging a dead body across the desk.
And they weighed about as much as a dead body.
And I thought, that's not very Christmassy, no. Mr. Jingling. That's not good at all. But, you know, we went through it. And then there was the year, Terry, you'll remember this. This is another Christmas memory. Glenn got drunk at the Christmas party.
I remember that? Yeah.
Glenn had a
beverages.
He had a nip. He had a nip before he came.
Speaking of that, though, I mean,
I hate to bring that up during the holiday time.
the times that we shared with the adult eggnog that we enjoyed.
We've had a little. We had a little nip with the adult eggnog,
or
but
two.
Never at the party.
Never at the party.
You know, Glenn was the one who brought it to the party.
We celebrated separately from the party.
And there were preachers at the party, and Glenn shows up, you know, half in the bag. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. What a Christmas
it was
that
a
was.
Sprite.
Linda, do you remember that? Oh, see, Linda, we all remember it. Glenn, speak to it. I mean, honestly, Glenn. You came in bobbing and weaving that night.
I got out of my car, and a lady that I do not know to this day handed me a drink. I guess she knew I liked occasional pop. And yeah. So I drank it, and it was tasted like whiskey, and it was a pretty big amount. So,
but you came in.
I didn't get drunk.
Well, I'm not saying you were drunk, but you came in. No, I mean, listen, you came in that night, you weren't walking a straight line, let's put it that way. I mean, that's Santa Claus,
don't listen to them.
I know, he's going to end up on the... I hate to bring that up in front of Santa Claus, but I mean, it did happen. That's a Christmas memory I have.
Well...
Okay, well, Santa Claus gives you a break.
Glad to give you Christmas memories.
You remember that, though, don't you?
Of course I do.
Well,
I was not drunk.
Linda, let's tell the truth here. I mean, we got to keep... You don't want to end up on the naughty
tipsy.
List.
Tipsy.
Exactly. He was tipsy that night, wasn't he?
It's kind of hard to take a big gulp of alcohol and not have an effect from it, you know, be wobbly or woozy.
Especially
you know?
That grain whiskey he was drinking. It was like one of those old stills. Yeah, I know. Mary Ellen, I don't think you were at that Christmas party that Glenn came in and he'd had a nip from somebody. Just somebody standing out on the curb hands him a cup and he just... And he just knocked it back.
No, I happened to miss that one, and I'm kind of sorry I did.
Oh, it was a night, Mary Ellen. It was a night.
Okay.
He really sang that night.
Yeah.
Oh, he was Pavarotti that night.
Well, good.
Yeah. But no, but you know what? A little nip at the holiday is not bad. I mean, people have a little wine, a little, you know, eggnog sometimes with a little, what is it they put in? Is it rum?
I don't know, because I don't like eggnog.
151. Well, apparently we got a Christmas card here from Buckeye Guy. How very nice. Apparently he left this for us tonight. The Fifth Down Foundation. Donations benefit Toys for Tots and Firefighters for Kids Toy Drive in the Salvation Army. P.O. Box 297746, Columbus, Ohio, 43230. So there you go. Our good friend the Buckeye Guy sends us a nice holiday card. Now, he's never had a nip.
No comment.
No. I'm sorry, Glenn. I think it's rum, Mary Ellen.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like eggnog.
You know, we did that one time. You and I did a Christmas special, and I poured eggnog in the cups, and you did.
I didn't. I don't like it.
Didn't like eggnog?
No.
But you do like fruitcake.
Oh, well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the favorites at the holiday time for some people.
Claxton. I do like a slice now and then. Yeah.
Now, you have an interesting story, though, that it kept you going
it
when
kept
you were
me alive.
Yeah.
When I was county treasurer, I would get hungry in my office and I'd eat a little bit of fruitcake. Yeah.
So it kept you going.
Kept me going.
What were the Christmases like in Washington, D.C. when you were treasurer? You lit the Christmas tree in Washington one year.
I did. I tell you, they were great. Our treasury was all lit up. We had a big party and food up and down the aisles. You know, we had long aisles in treasury, and they were full of
people's food. Yeah.
And you also attended some great White House Christmas parties with the Clintons.
Yes, yes. With I brought ladies in that had never been there. My neighbor ladies were tickled to death to get to come and see the lights. And, oh, they're gorgeous, you know.
What was it like to light the Christmas tree for the nation?
Oh, it was, well, it was for behind White House and Treasury is where it was. It was in the park back there. And we always had a famous singer and a crowd, and we'd freeze to death. That was the routine. And then they'd have a tent for the people to go into when they couldn't stand it any longer. And that was usually a case where pretty much everybody ended up in the tent. But the tree changed colors. The one I lit changed colors. And I just thought, I was so fascinated with that. You know, it would change to different colors as it sat there.
it sounds like I think only second to New York would be Washington at Christmas.
Yeah.
And a wonderful time. I want to go around the room here. We'll start with Mary Ellen. What is your most memorable Christmas of your life?
Well, probably when I got my Betsy Wetsy doll.
We talked about that last night.
I know, but that was my biggest thing that I received that I just loved. Norman gave me some really nice gifts, too. He gave me this ring on Christmas.
Oh.
Whenever he got out his camera, I knew it was going to be good. Yeah, right. Okay, the Betsy Wetsy and what Norman gave me.
Very nice. Santa Claus, when you hear all these great Christmas stories, is there a Christmas in your life that you remember that sticks out?
Well, I don't have one specifically because each one is very enjoyable to me. And it really gladdens my heart to see the smiles on the faces of the little boys and girls when they open up their presents and they see what they get.
It's a wonderful thing, a magical thing that happens once
Absolutely.
A year. Linda, favorite Christmas memory?
One of my favorite Christmas memories, it didn't have much to do with what I received, but what I witnessed when I woke up Christmas morning. Which was the smell of oranges and apples and, you know, ham, bacon in the oven and, you know, just the general atmosphere of the house, you know. It was like the sun is shining and everything is sparkling, you know, things like that. And you could get up and go eat. You didn't have to wait like Thanksgiving, right, till everybody gets around the table, but you could eat at any time of the day that you woke up. You could go right then and eat, but the oranges, I can still smell those oranges. Yeah.
So this was when you were a child.
When I was a child.
And people forget those Christmas oranges, Mary Ellen, but oranges were a big part of Christmas for years and years and years. And I learned that they were supposed to represent gold. They came about during World War II when people didn't have a lot of money in the Depression, when people didn't have a lot of money to buy gifts, and they would put oranges in the stockings and say that they were representation of gold. But you know, some people still have oranges at their house during Christmas, and they like the smell of oranges
at
Christmas.
Yes,
it's very interesting. Ed, favorite Christmas memory?
So our tradition in our family, I had a brother and sister, and the tradition in our family is we would wake up on Christmas morning before our parents did, and we would have our stocking with our name on it on one of the chairs, and there would be one present that would always be unwrapped, so we had something to play with as soon as we woke up. And I can remember I got this one really cool, it was maybe 2 foot by 2 foot, but it was like a Western fort, and it had these little plastic army figures. And I could play with that on that fort for hours. I'd play war, you know, and it's just a great memory.
A great memory. Glenn, favorite Christmas memory?
Well, isn't
other than that year you had a drink.
It isn't loving playing war. That doesn't sound like something my father. I tell you what, I wish I could all take you with me back to 5-6 year old Glenn Coble living in the parsonage. You can't imagine how beautiful Christmas is when you're living in the parsonage. It's just absolutely wonderful. And so I would say all of my preteen years were my favorite years, because there wasn't a year that went by that some little old lady who was probably 45 would come up to me and pinch my cheek and tell me how much she loved me and give me candy and stuff like that. So I would say probably my fifth and sixth year were my best years. I don't even remember the toys I got. I remember all the having all the little old ladies come up. Like I said, they weren't old, but the ladies come up and tell me how much they love me.
Very nice. Matt, favorite Christmas memory in these 22 Christmases you've had?
I mean, I don't think there's one in particular that I can really think of that was any more or less, you know, than the others. I mean, they're all pretty much the same. I mean, you know, every year we go to, we all stay at my parents' house. I guess as of late, we all stay at my parents' house. But my dad always basically said that if we woke him up, he'd be very upset. But he always ended up waking up at like 5:30, 6 in the morning before anybody else anyways, and he still does that. So I don't know why he even bothers telling us not to wake him up. He's always the one doing the waking up. So, I mean, you know, it's just things like that, I suppose.
Well, and I think anticipation is a huge part of Christmas. I mean, that's we were talking last night about the wrapping of gifts, and somebody actually called in this morning and said, when did wrapping start? Do you know how we started wrapping gifts? I didn't know until I looked it up this morning. It started with the Hall brothers, who actually became the Hallmark family. But it was a mistake. They were wrapping in things in regular bags, and I think they ran out. And so they were using tissues and other things, and that morphed its way into what we would call Christmas wrapping paper today. And that started, I think, in the early 1900s. It doesn't go back very far. I mean, maybe, you know, a little more than 110, 20 years, something like that. It's not a great long old tradition. I thought that was very interesting. So we talked about that this morning. Is Terry out there? We want to hear his favorite Christmas memory. Is he roaming around out there? Matt's going to go find Terry. And don't forget, next hour, we've got the singing coming up. Everybody's... Oh, see, you did that right in the microphone, Glenn. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to. And we're all going to sing, and it's going to be great, and everybody's going to come in. And we do want to thank the great people at Donato's again for supplying our food tonight. Thank you, Donato's, and Nate, who is the manager over there. Terry, favorite Christmas memory in your life?
In my life? Oh, my gosh. I have to go probably way back when I was younger. Just, I don't know. One year I wanted a video game system for Christmas, and I got it.
What kind of video games? Nintendo?
Sega Genesis.
Sega?
Yeah.
Why was that so standout-ish?
To me, I played a lot of games at other people's house on the system, and I just really wanted it. I just liked the games that I played. And there it was. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, a lot of sports games. And
you know, and that's really what the season's all about, yeah. And things of that nature. And, you know, I'm not even sure that it's the gift.
I remember my mom got it for me. She said, "Now, will you leave me alone?"
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Then mom said, yeah. Christmas spirit. That's. Yeah. I think that's very nice. Yeah. That's how.
And at that point, I really didn't care the rest of the time what I got, because I got that I wanted. So.
Now, we've mentioned some things. We've mentioned oranges. We've mentioned fruitcake. We've mentioned eggnog. What are some of those other things that are only associated with this time of year? Chestnuts. Mm-hmm. Chestnuts would be what, Glenn?
We had tangerines instead of oranges.
Why tangerines?
I don't know. It's something that I had in my entire growing up.
You know,
easier to peel.
Fruit baskets are still very popular. Yeah. I noticed that. People like fruit baskets. People like to pass out a fruit basket. Candy canes.
Does it have to be a fruit? Because I like chocolate-covered cherries, I know.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to get Sean favorite Christmas memory. There we go. Sean, favorite Christmas memory in your life?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I have so many of them. Probably when I was 5 years old, I wanted a train set, and I got it.
A train set?
Yeah.
And that goes with Christmas. A lot of people have trains that go around the tree every year. That's all very nice.
Yeah.
What do you make of this time? You really like Christmas.
I do. Christmas is my favorite holiday.
Your favorite holiday. Yep. Why?
I don't know. I just like the lights and everything. I don't know if it's because of
the autism?
It could be. I don't know. Yeah, just like the lights and everything.
Those blinking lights.
Yeah.
There's something about that every year. Put you in a trance for the holiday season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, marshmallows as well. And one of the songs we do is Marshmallow World, which is, I did not realize that was a year-round song. Glenn loves that song.
I never heard of it. Still don't know it.
But you sang it.
No, I didn't.
You did. We have the word. You'll sing it next hour. And the Wassailing song. That was one we added that everybody loves. Everybody loves the Wassailing song. And there went the stool. Don't worry. That's fine. It's the holidays. That's right. That was actually Glenn tripping over his own feet. He had another drink. Sean, you were here the year that Glenn had a drink, weren't you?
I was.
You were. You remember that?
Yeah, he took it from a, was that from a girl or something?
A lady.
Lady.
Lady who I still not have. I'd like to have her come back and
would you?
Introduce herself.
I bet you'd like her to come back.
Yeah, because I'm going to have her tell the truth.
Yeah, but why, now Glenn, now seriously, we want to answer this Christmas. Why, if a stranger approached you, would you take a drink of something in her cup? I don't think I would do that. Yeah.
I have never been afraid to say hi to people I didn't know.
Well, saying hi is fine. I'll say hi to her.
Anybody I didn't know, or give a kiss to anybody I didn't. I'm just that type of person. I'm outgoing.
Well, right. But I think, Glenn, you're missing the point here. That what we're saying is that I guess giving somebody a kiss or a hello or a handshake is a little different than drinking something out of a cup.
I don't think of it differently. A lot of people say they might want to give you ill will.
Right.
But right. I don't believe people do that. So my wouldn't allow me to think that way.
Have you ever heard of Bill Cosby?
Yes. And I still don't think that's true.
Well, he's been on the show. I like Bill. He's been on the show. God bless him. Santa Claus, you have something to say here?
Yeah, I think the point we're missing here is it's the season. You don't have to worry so much, I believe, at this time of year that people have ill will in their hearts toward you. My favorite part of this season is that when you're out and about, you see people, they're usually smiling. They're having a better time than maybe they are the other 11 months out of the year. But this is a good time of year for most people.
It really is. It's a happy time of year. People are happy. People are enjoying themselves. And we're going to enjoy ourselves because it's coming up on break time. But we're coming back in 10 minutes, and the singing will commence. Everybody get ready. Santa Claus is going to sing with us. We got Mary Ellen. We got Glenn. We got Matt. We got Ed. We got Linda. We got Sean. We got Terry. And possibly one more person on the way before the night's over. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe a phone call on the way. We don't know. There might be a Christmas phone call coming. But we are going to sing. It's going to be big. Now get ready. Everybody be in anticipation. It's coming up after this short but important timeout. Holiday fun right after this.
On Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash.